Hi everyone, this is Talking Shop, the podcast for anyone who is serious about growing their business online. I'm one of your hosts, Waldo, and every week Leo and myself will be joined by guest speakers where we'll be discussing topics about anything and everything related to the world of commerce. So sit back, relax, and let's talk shop.
Waldo, my man.
How's it going?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, man. Welcome back to another week.
I know. Yes, another week. It's an exciting week, this one. I wanted to talk about AI. I want to talk about UX, UI, of how we can utilize AI. And the best way to do that is by having a merchant. Now, he's sitting right next to me. I'll do an introduction, but you excited for the episode?
Yeah, I think the last couple of episodes we've touched on a fair bit of AI. So I think there's a bit of a theme developing here.
Well, I think I got the right person to talk about AI today. I think. We'll see. Cool. But sitting next to me, I've got John Mellows. John, I want to do a quick intro of who you are.
Awesome.
I'm going to say first bullet point, entrepreneur.
I wouldn't say entrepreneur, but okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, like a bit trying, yeah.
We'll discuss that because you do a lot. Yeah. Not only have you got a 9-to-5 job, you're a BDM at Walk & Scott. You are the owner of The Kai Box, Healthy Plant-Based Meals. We'll talk more about that.
Yep.
You are a black belt Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu coach with your own Jiu-Jitsu gym. I've heard it's quite a good gym, by the way.
Yeah, I've heard. Yeah, yeah.
You've heard the same thing?
It's rumored.
It's rumored. Yeah, yeah. And you probably do other things that I don't know about, but we're going to find out in this episode. So welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Excellent.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, I've got to ask you the first question.
All right, go for it.
Because it sounds like you do a lot. Like, is there any free time there? Like, what else do you get up to?
No, there's plenty of free time. I think I'm normally, answering emails and just kind of sorting out Kai Box stuff a little bit. For the most part, I'm, you know, doing my job, and my wife really runs the Kai Box.
Okay, so, yep. That's one of the secrets there.
You got. It is, yeah. So okay. she's the main person. Very talented. Does, you know, pretty much is the backbone of that business. And really, I've got the easy job of just making sure, you know, the customers are all sort of the operational side is like the couriers and all that sort of stuff is all running.
Yeah,
as it should.
What led you to start the Kai Box?
So again, it comes back down to jiu-jitsu, I guess. But I went to, so this is when I used to was training down at Ground Control in East Tamaki, and came back, and my wife turned to me and said, "We can't eat meat anymore." And if you're South African,
yeah,
which
yeah.
you'll know well, then
yeah.
like you know, we've just grown up on dairy meat and.
Meat and carbs.
Know, yeah, it. Pretty much. Yeah. Like, yeah, there's no vegetables really there. So I said to her, "That's ridiculous. Of course, you know, we need meat. We're not going to stop eating meat." So it took about a couple of days for her to convince me to watch a couple of documentaries on Netflix.
Right.
And that kind of, twisted my arm. And then we went like cold turkey on the whole thing. We just said, wow. Okay, that's, you know, we gave our meat off to some friends.
What's this Netflix thing called? So I don't watch it.
So yeah,
so you
exactly.
don't watch it.
It was actually a couple of them. The one was called Forks Over Knives. That was that was quite a good one actually.
Explains the whole food chain also. Like
yeah, how yeah, yeah. It's prepared. Kind of like from a health perspective.
Yes. So you watch that. You've turned vegan. Now, how does the Kai Box relate?
Yeah.
To this?
So so my wife, like she, you know, just basically. Took the bull by the horns, the whole thing, and you know, started doing all the research and, you know, trying to, if you've cooked with, you know, meat your whole time and dairy and all that, you know, it's like, it's really hard to try and figure out like what type, and you must remember like 7-8 years ago, there was nothing on the market for vegans at all.
Right.
If you went to a restaurant, you know, the best you could probably get is a plate of chips.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have, you know, for I don't know how many times we had a plate of chips
side
and
of salad,
you know, yeah, exactly. You know? So she did all that work, you know, over a course of like 6 months, just trying to, you know, just feed our family, making sure we had enough protein, you know, all that sort of stuff. And then at the end of it, we thought to ourselves, we're like, well, we've gone through all this heartache. Like you've done all this research stuff. You know, why don't we package that all up and then we can try and create a. And also when you first become vegan, you know, you're like. You know, you want to go do something for the community, you know, you want to try and...
You're evangelized.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You want to go do something for the cause, you know. So, you know, for us, and that was our little way of just going, okay, if we can just make it really easy for, you know, for a person to just even try plant-based food, then that's a win for us. And so that's why we created it. And we thought to ourselves, honestly, if we've sold, you know, 10 boxes a month, you know, that's our activism basically. And you know, that's us doing something, you know, not knowing that it would grow and you'll be doing a lot more boxes, you know. So yeah, that's kind of how it all
came through.
Did you
jump straight onto Shopify, or was there something else you started with at the start of the business?
It was pretty much Shopify. I think previously, before that, I had another startup called Snackle, and what that did was like it was a marketing platform where, before even QR codes and NFC was a thing, we had a marketing platform where actually all the bus shop shelters around Auckland. Yeah. So though that the NFC and the QR codes there, the technology behind that, like, was us, like, right in the beginning to begin with.
Nice.
And so we had this little marketing platform that made those, I guess the QR codes dynamic. And so I kind of went through that process of, you know, building from the ground up a website that enabled that content to be able to be put on there.
Sure.
Which was just, you know, it was really hard. And so for me, it was like, okay, how can we get this? You know, Saskia knew, my wife, she knew, okay, what we needed to do from a, you know, to get in, you know, from a box perspective. Like, and so for my job was really to try and see, okay, how can we package this all up into an e-commerce platform that people can actually order?
Yeah.
So, and to me, Shopify was just the logical option for that. So, and it was quick and easy. So it was like, okay, let's just put this on Shopify. We can put a couple of boxes on there and let's just see where it goes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's really easy.
Yeah, exactly.
How did you guys grow organically, or did you go straight to paid marketing? Was it just word of mouth on Facebook? How did the word get out about
it? It was all organic to begin with. So I think for us, it was more, you know, not having, you know, run a food business before, we kind of wanted to get our bearings first.
Yes.
So it was all kind of organic, and really the vegan market is, you know, back then or even now, is, you know, it's very small.
Right.
So, you know, you can get the kind of where we really took off was when there was like a really big vegan, how can you say it? Like a
event? Expo? Event.
Yeah, expo. Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And down at the race course, Ellerslie Race Course. Yeah. And it was like a massive one. It's never been that big ever again.
Oh, okay.
Which is really weird. But and
it's, we have, everyone knows now to order from the Kai box, so you don't need to go to the event.
Maybe, I don't know. Yeah. But I mean, the thing is, you should think that actually it would be there are expos around, but I don't know, for some reason that event was just really good. And so we had a stall there, and I think a lot of people got to know us around that, and that really picked up our sales. And
yeah, I can imagine.
I think what really, and this is all stuff you kind of learn like as you go, is, you know, a lot of times people were ordering one-off, you know, doing one-off orders on our website.
Yes.
But you kind of want to capture people. Like, it seems obvious now.
Yes,
but like,
yes.
You know, it's, you know, with us, you know, having started and not really, you know, we don't know any, you know, even now today, we don't know much about marketing. You know, we could do probably way better. You know, you need to capture people and keep them there. And the way to do that is through subscriptions.
Yeah.
And so as soon as we got Bold and we installed that, and which enabled people, I think at the time when I originally launched it, which was, I don't know, 7 odd years ago, I don't think Bold was able to, we couldn't use Bold for some reason. I can't remember.
Probably the currency. They couldn't do it for NZD currency or something weird like that. I don't know. Who knows? But yeah.
But we couldn't actually do it.
Right.
But as soon as we were able to do it, then and we installed it onto the site, that's when we started getting our orders started increasing. And, and the only reason why is because we're getting those recurring orders, but then we had captured that person.
Yeah.
And then that enabled us to, you know, kind of have a better run rate, I guess, and retention for
us. Yeah, of course. Yeah, beautiful.
And I mean, from a forecasting perspective, it makes things a lot easier as well.
Yeah, it does.
On the first of the month, you already know, hey, this is what the next couple of weeks are going to look like, rather than reactive ordering where you're like, scurry.
Yeah.
So I can see that. Yeah, it's interesting you went for Bold. How long ago was this?
This was, it must be about 7 years ago now.
So it is a long
time. Yeah, a while. Yeah, actually, awesome. We're still on, which is frustratingly, on the old Bold
version
platform.
Yeah.
Where, because now there's Shopify payments that, you know, that came in, what, 3-4 years ago maybe, or something like that.
Yeah.
So, and then at that time, like they weren't charging fees or anything. So, but then we couldn't upgrade. And now we can upgrade to it, and it's a bit of a hassle. And it's like,
there's a lot of options now.
And now you've done over, according to your website, over 36,000 boxes. So,
that's amazing. Yeah, it's been,
You're feeding some families, which is great.
Yeah, which is great. Yeah, I think a lot of times, you know, a lot of people who are sick are using.
Really?
Yeah. So people going through cancer.
Right.
You know, obviously a lot of celiacs. People who are really, you know, really are sick, they're choosing our boxes to try and you know, get them at least. Yeah. So
you've offered the ability for people to still buy a one-off box and not force them into a subscription.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. That's also nice.
That's big ups, because a lot of the sort of traditional meal delivery platforms, it's jump on a subscription or see ya. You know, there's no like a one-off box. So that's a good point of difference that you got there.
Yeah, yeah, yep, yep. So and also I think at that time we were offering people can just pay how they could just do so, like bank transfer. The end of it just got just too hard.
Yeah.
When you get volume, you can't do that. Yeah, you gotta start automating everything.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So so now it's just basically, you know, you just pay through your Visa and even PayPal now, that is getting a little bit dicey as well with some of their terms and conditions. We're just like, listen, we got to get
you onto Shop Pay.
Yeah,
the proper
customers are all using their Visa debits or credit cards.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah,
that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think people are more used to now actually subscribing to something.
Definitely. Whereas,
yeah, so I think it's kind of it's getting more the norm. Yeah.
Yeah, we've talked about it for years. How later on, everyone's going to have a subscription for something.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. And we all do. Yeah. Like whether it's Netflix or whatever it is, we're kind of conditioned now to this.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't you have for socks?
Yeah.
Socks. He's got a subscription to socks.
That's a good idea.
Are you wearing them now? He keeps talking about his sock game.
Black ones on today.
Okay, not today.
No, it's just quirky socks, camera. And they send you three packs every.
That's
once,
awesome.
Every 3 months.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Really and, cool. And they should do that for Thunder Pens too.
Nice. Hey, we're talking about Bold, obviously one of the apps, Shopify. Were there any other apps that you use that sort of you think really sort of assisted you with growing the business on Shopify?
Yeah, I think the one which we don't use now, I mean, we use for our emailing is Z, starts with a Z.
Klaviyo?
Okay.
But yeah, okay. I knew where you're going.
That's the same, yeah, yeah. Klaviyo. Yeah. I don't know why I was saying Z. Klaviyo. So we use Klaviyo.
Yeah.
And then, but we were, before that, we were using something else.
MailChimp?
No, it wasn't MailChimp.
Oh, okay. Active Campaign.
We're going to go around and
monitor. Yeah, we could be going
around in circles. Yeah. But that, I forget now. But anyway, they were actually really good. Like they did the whole emailing thing, but I think more we were using it for sentiment analysis. So just getting, you know, sending out the feedback and then be able to get that back.
Okay.
But anyway, we're using Klaviyo now, and then we're also using, I've got to go into our store to have a look.
But, that's all right.
I said those are the main ones.
Yeah, what are you using for reviews, just out of interest?
So we're using Bold.
Yes.
Then we're using Gem Pages as a landing page.
Yeah.
So it's going to a landing page. Mm-hmm. Klaviyo, Octane AR.
Nice.
Oh wow.
Although I'm probably gonna get rid of that at some point. So but it's quite good in terms of if you want to do those
questions. Those forms and stuff.
Forms, yeah.
That's best app of 2021.
Really?
It was, yeah. By Shopify gave it that award.
It is very good.
That's very good. But you can now uninstall it now. Go off.
Yeah, yeah. No, not yet. It's actually tied in with our Klaviyo stuff.
Okay, don't do that.
And then Stamped, we're using for that.
Stamped.
Yeah, but I'm not too. They're not that great.
Interesting tech stack.
We'll have a chat with you.
That's good. Oh, yeah. I love asking the question because there's so many different hybrids, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah, we obviously have our kind of what we recommend to clients, but it's just you can't align yourself with everyone. You can't recommend every single app. Otherwise, you make decisions take for ages because of this app analysis that goes on.
Yes.
Yeah. But no, that's cool, man. I really appreciate sharing that.
And I've just downloaded Zigpoll.
What is that?
Surveys.
Like a poll, customer surveys. Okay. Cool. Mm. So is that more on the website or an email sent out?
I think it's an email that gets sent out. Okay. Yeah, but it's more kind of, I guess what we want to try and do now is try and get to know our customers, but not have this sort of just like massive mail out, or you know, we want to try and, you know, take 50 or, you know, 80 of our customers and like really try and get to know them.
Yeah.
We constantly talk about personalization,
segmentation,
and segmentation. I think those two things, knowing who you're talking to and communicating to them in a way which they want to be talked to.
Yes.
You know, high value customers you're going to talk to slightly different, that type of thing. Well, you've got the right tool in place for that with Klaviyo. So, no, that's really good.
Yeah, I think, I guess what we try to do with Octane, and it hasn't, I don't think it's worked too well, probably because I haven't spent too much time on it with our shit. But if you go onto our website now, like there's a survey that pops up and they ask you a whole bunch of questions. Now, based on the answers that you put into that, that'll then go into Octane.
Mm-hmm.
And that will, well, Octane is running that.
Mm.
And then if that feeds through into Klaviyo, mm-hmm. and then based off those answers will depend on which email you get.
That's
right?
That's it.
So that kind of, at least if you say, for instance, if you're going through that survey and you say, you know, what you say packaging is your main concern, you know, that you've ordered from HelloFresh or whatever else, and their packaging isn't that great, it's too much plastic, then what we're trying to do is try and say, okay, well, our plastic is awesome, like we've got you know, compost free, all that sort of stuff. So we want to send them that email, not something that's to do with sources,
something else that they don't care about, like
that's what we've tried to do with it.
Is that you playing around, or is that your wife doing that behind the scenes?
So we got we had another guy come in to set a lot of that stuff up.
Okay.
But and then we try and manage it, but I think I don't think I know enough of it to kind of do it justice.
You're doing five other things, so totally makes sense. Yep. But yeah, that's so,
but
good
that,
to know.
That's how I was thinking behind it, is try and send emails that are a bit more resonate with people.
Beautiful.
Now
you're a busy person, and that's why we want to talk a little bit about AI in this episode. Before I jump to that question about AI, because you're in a very competitive space with the Kybox. Do anybody else, like the big names, try and do vegan stuff, or they've sort of left that alone and you're just...
No. So over the years, they've definitely come into the market. So I think when we first started, I think that was, you know, we saw that's where our playground was. And so that's where we stuck to. But no, the others have come in. And yeah, so it's
so how do you defend that?
It's very hard to defend.
Okay.
Like, and I think the way we differentiate ourselves, or what we try to do, is just try and say, well, any of your sources or anything like that, it's all, you know, you make those we don't give you pre-made sources or anything like that that's got full of sugar and salt and all the rest of it. We essentially, you know, you make those, that stuff at home. I think the reality is that there's a very, even if you look at the vegan market in general, it's a very small market.
Yes.
And then based off that small market, how many people really care about their sources that have got a little bit of sugar and salt? Probably not that many. So you kind of, you know, you kind of, it's very hard, I guess, to try and.
It's the 80-20 rule again. You know, even within that sort of smaller vertical, 80% of people who are vegan will probably, the biggest point why they're doing it is because, you know, you don't need to get it 100% right to feel great, right? But then you get that 20% of it that'll, like, evangelists, you know, they're like, nope, kind of this, kind of that. Bit of a David, you know, with his keto.
Poor David. But I guess then, John, now you've got the word of mouth is out there. You've been here for 7 years. You've had your community, and that's what's keeping you, you know, defending that those lanes compared to some of these other big players who have deep pockets.
Yeah, they're very
there's billboards, it's everything.
That's right. Yeah, and I think especially with with a lot of them, they can just hand out free boxes.
Yeah, they can.
And so, or like discount heavily. Like we just can't play in that market.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you gotta be clever.
Yeah. So it's trying to come up with ways that can, you know, bring you to the fore of people and, you know, get eyeballs onto your brand. So we're still trying to figure that out. Like, we haven't, you know, we don't have the key to that.
Nobody does.
Yeah.
Everyone's learning as they go.
Yeah, exactly.
So, if there was a silver bullet, we would all have it. But there are recipes, and no pun intended, that do work in e-commerce.
I see you do quite a mixture when it comes to top of funnel for AdWords and SEO. Yep. Is the SEO that you've done, you guys have been around for a long time, so that's definitely a benefit there. Yep. Have you done a lot of other SEO as well?
Probably not as much as we should. Okay. So
it's a common answer from everybody.
I'm always interested, because when I do a high level search of something like vegan food box delivery,
right? Yeah.
A lot of people could could search. I see you pop up with obviously sponsored and then second organic, which is great.
Which is cool. Which is good.
That'll give you a lot of traffic coming through to the site. Amazing. Yep. Yep.
Okay. So you're a busy man, John. I'm assuming this is why we're having an AI conversation with you. How did it gravitate towards you? When did you discover it? When did you start playing with ChatGPT? When did this come into your life?
So I think when I heard of ChatGPT, a friend of mine actually who does a radio show, but he mentioned it on the radio show.
Right.
And I was like, last
year?
Yeah, this was like last year. Yeah. Like before really anyone was talking about it. And I kind of just thought to myself, oh, okay, that's interesting. Didn't really pay any attention to it. And then it was probably about a month later or a couple of months later, I went back and he spoke about it again. I was like, hang on, I've got to do a little bit of research on this. And then went onto it. And then I was like, wow, this is pretty amazing. I could definitely, you know, can see using this in just my work life and whatever else. So that was really cool. And I think that was at that time where probably maybe 2 or 3 weeks later, things really started ramping up with OpenAI and everything. So, and I guess from a food box point of view, like, and this goes for all food boxes around the world, is that, you know, everyone, when you go onto a website, you pretty much are prescribed like whatever's on that site. Like they try and give you as many options as you can, but really the reality is like if you want something very specific, it more than likely may not be on that site, right?
Sure.
We go on there and yes, there's some pasta meals, there's some things for fish or chicken or whatever else, but there's nothing really where you can actually go and get exactly like what you want. And I think
it's called a supermarket.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that's inconvenient, you know?
Exactly. You know? It takes too much time.
Yeah.
No,
yeah. Even though it's not.
I can understand you're creating a bunch of molds that you think will fit the majority of people, and then people got to sort of fit into one of those molds.
That's right. So, yeah. And it goes with, if you think of like e-commerce, like Xero as an example, like, you know, with my daily work with like business systems, you know, you go into a manufacturing environment and, you know, you tell them, okay, here's a Microsoft solution for you. And invariably they're going to go, okay, it does 80% of what I want to do. That other 20% we need to customize and need to make it so it fits within our business. And a lot of times what we're saying to people now is, well, don't do that. Change your process.
Yes.
And it's
new technology, new processes.
So it's kind of weird, like on a business world, when it comes to systems, we all very much, here's the system and just use it, don't change it. And you think of Xero, it's very much like it, right? You get your accounting system, you don't really change much to it. Like if you want something with it, it's like too bad. That's what you get.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. And I have this conversation with merchants that come to us as well, where, you know, quite often to give them a solution that fits 100% their operational ways of going about things right now, it's actually sometimes so much more complicated than actually just changing the operation to suit the SaaS model.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, which is the way to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Far more cost effective.
Yeah.
And probably going to bring in some efficiencies which you didn't realize.
Yes.
So
that's right.
This has been tested by hundreds or thousands of other companies as well. So anyway.
Yeah. But then you go to the person who's actually been in that role for like the last 20 years and they're like, you know, it's like, but I've got my piece of paper and I need to tick it off. And it's like, well, you don't need to do that anymore. The system will do it for you. No, I've got my paper and I need to tick it off. Yeah. And it's like, so it's funny. So in a business sense, this is my opinion anyway, like we're very much going, okay, use the system how it is as standard. Now, on the consumer side, it's almost flipping the other way around, where we're going, we want something specific. We want it unique. We want it the way that we want it, you know? And that's where I think AI is coming in with consumer-led type products. It's like you can actually define what you want and you can get it. And so that's kind of was the light bulb moment for me in terms of the food boxes, like actually we can utilize AI. And we can utilize it in a way that it will enable people to come to a site, choose what they want, and then we'll be able to deliver it to them. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Much like, I mean, you got Instacart and stuff like that there in the US. But again, it's like, you know, you're having to go on to us. I mean, I still think that the way that we actually shop on like a New World and Countdown is ridiculous.
Yeah.
In what way?
In that we take a recipe or we go and choose the individual items.
Right.
Like, we should just be able to choose, I want that pasta.
Yeah.
And then all the ingredients and stuff like that, that just comes with it. Like, yeah, I don't have to go to this. Like, we literally go to the store and we go, okay, I need a garlic and I need a pepper and I need some cashews if you're vegan to go make your sauce or whatever else. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's stupid.
Rather than that, it should be, hey, Siri, on Monday night we want to eat this. On Tuesday we want to eat that. Wednesday and so on. And it will go, okay, based on what you've just input, it's going to spit out a shopping list. It'll then go to Instacart, which I know the new GPT-4 has got an Instacart connectivity.
Yeah, I was just about to say, how many Siris around the world have you just activated by saying that, what you just said?
I just did. And then it'll spit out a shopping list for us and go to the store and order it. And because I can store my credit card with it, it just pays for me.
And that's basically a reality now. It's like, that's how it's going to be. Amazing. So, so that's why I think like the way we shop is just silly.
So you mentioned you brought that in to automate stuff, but I guess without going into trade secrets, could you elaborate a little bit more?
Yeah, no, like, for me, open book, it's fine. I guess what we decided was that we've created now a separate brand called Grubs Up, and we now
another business that John is running. Okay.
Well, what we thought was is that I think taking Carbox would be and trying to utilize that, it's just, I think it'd just be too much disruption.
Yeah,
because the way
people know what to do there.
Yeah,
yeah, okay,
that's right. So new brand, but what you'll be able to do is you basically hop onto that site. And you can pretty much search for whatever you want, and then it'll generate the recipes for you. You can order that, and then we'll send the box. The same process, just that you've got a bit more, you've got way more customized, you know, uniqueness.
Okay, I can say it's three people in my household. I need meals for X number of nights, and I really like certain type of food.
Yep.
And you are talking to AI
to
generate a recipe.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
Yep.
So,
are you doing more than that? Are you doing visuals?
Yeah, and visuals, yeah.
So you're bringing back a photo that's being generated by AI.
Yep. So the whole thing on the site is AI generated. So
I love that.
So what's really crazy is, so we've tested this with some people, and afterwards we said that was all generated by AI.
And they don't believe it.
And they're like, what?
Because the photos look
Photos look legit.
And food is one that you can get away with that. It's not like it has to be the exact sneaker that I'm buying.
Yeah.
Food is like, well, that looks like my steak and vegetables if you're selling meat and stuff in this one.
And to get these types of quality photos, worth the backdrops, worth the little lifestyle add-ons that you do, the spoons, the lemons, the pieces of bread, all that. Like, it's good. They've cost you hundreds of dollars to do that.
Yeah,
thousands of dollars to do that if you had a photographer. Plus, it changes so often. Plus, you're giving people these unlimited sort of options to go for. That's great. It's something you couldn't do without ChatGPT unless you had an unlimited budget.
This is the ChatGPT API that you're using.
So it's OpenAI using API. So
OpenAI, API.
Yeah. So I guess, anyone could go do that. I guess that where our IP comes in is the back end. Like, how do you process these hundreds of recipes that are coming through?
Mm-hmm.
How do you organize all those? How do you get all the recipes? How do you, get it to the person's front door? That's the the hard part.
That's the stuff we won't need to talk about too much. It's your IP. But so once that image pops in with the recipe and everything, I can add to cart and you're checking out through Shopify as the plan and what you're doing. That's amazing. Yep. So I guess what I liked about all of this and why I wanted you on the show is I wanted merchants to understand this far more than just like, oh, I can tell it to write me a little blog article. There's so much more now of to do this. And when you sort of advised me that you were playing around with this stuff and got it, all working, I was very intrigued. I was like, oh, John, this is next level. This is the stuff I like. So, that's an awesome idea.
So I think, so what I'll do is I'll give my email address. So we're opening it up to just 10 people in the next week or two. And you guys can email me. So it's john@grubsup.co.nz.
You're going to get more than 10 people.
That's fine. So first 10 will come in there. Email me. You can be part of the trial. It's not going to be perfect.
Yes.
So, but what we want is for people to go onto the site, order, and we'll send the boxes to them. Yep.
Beautiful. Well, I think a lot of people will be very interested to see how you've done or what is it that you've done and how it looks. And I think it's an amazing way for you to automate stuff and save, overheads.
Yep.
I know you use ChatGPT in other ways for other businesses or for yourself. Any other little tips of how you like using AI?
I think like I use it for my work a lot. So just to, in fact, I think with Microsoft, they releasing what they call Copilot now. So they're effectively taking ChatGPT and just putting that all, bundling it all into their products.
Mm-hmm.
So at the moment, even within Outlook, if you've got the latest version, you've got Viva Sales in there, so you can actually click on that and that'll actually bring up a box that will say you can summarize that email.
Yeah.
and then you can say or reply to it as well, or reply in a particular way, and so I'm using that quite a bit, which is good.
Have you seen the meme where one side the guy's like, look, I'm using ChatGPT to write a whole email, and then on the other side there's another person going, look, I'm using ChatGPT to summarize this email?
Yes. Yeah.
So I can see everyone's doing that. Do you find, because you've gravitated towards it, you love it, but do you find when you talk to other people they just don't get it, or they just don't want to have any part of it?
No, yeah. I think any, it seems like everyone is like really secretive about it.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah,
it's like
everyone's on the fence, like no one's ready to jump on yes, I'm so happy with it. There's 20% of people again will be like, yep, all for it. The rest are all like, well, I don't know, I kind of use it, you know. I'm a little bit like that, like, yeah. I use it every day,
yeah,
for something, because there's always something, but now I'm using it more and more and more. So I'm starting to scratch a little bit deeper,
yeah,
and finding ways that it makes my job easier.
That's right, yeah.
And you know, I still get paid the same.
Yeah.
Doesn't, but I think I find ways of making my job easier. It's not on me, you know. And I think that's where the real benefit lies here. It's for merchants, for people, anyone can use this just to make their jobs easier, which means you can do more in a day.
Easier, yeah.
Hopefully you can become more efficient.
Yes.
And I mean, I've probably said this to you before. I think anyone who's ignoring it or is not going to incorporate AI in some aspects of their business in the next year or less, and like, you're going to get left behind.
100%.
Because like there's going to be newer companies coming up now. And that's one advantage we've got with GrubsUp at the moment is, I mean, for these bigger companies to try and do something similar with their, like, their processes would be a huge change for them.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to like just change your business in that way. So that's where our competitive advantage is going to be. And then and it's the same with other newer businesses. They are also going to be thinking AI first, and how are we going to structure our business around AI? And I think if you don't have that mindset, or at least trying to incorporate it in, then in my opinion, I think you'll be left behind. Yeah.
I think so. I think you are too, and I think people are scared that they might lose their job to AI, but I mentioned this to the team, it's not really AI that might take up your job, it might be somebody that's enabling it,
like, yes, that's
really
right.
Gets it and understands how to be proficient. And so I think the team have come around quite a bit. I think November last year I showed the whole team, I think Waldo was actually away, but the overall, I guess, atmosphere after that meeting wasn't like, yeah, boss, that was the best thing you've ever showed me, I'm jumping on that right now. It's kind of like, oh, okay, that was nice. Yeah, okay, well, back to my normal day stuff. And I'm like, oh. So it's taken a few meetings, and now I think even Lisa, are you using it daily? Yeah, she's giving the nod. She's giving the thumbs up. Yeah. Waldo's now using it. Yeah, he comes over and shows me, like, check this out. Check
what I do. Exactly. He's very proud.
Yeah. So I was listening to a Joe Rogan podcast recently. He had a Mitch, that Dr. Michio Kaku on us, like a very smart physicist.
Yeah. He's the guy that did something in his garage.
He's part of string theory. Like, right. He's one of the first ones who actually sort of, but anyway, much smarter than me. But he's talking about quantum computing, right? Now, when you combine AI with quantum computing, this is where I think it could get scary, but I think with the technology that we have today, people who aren't going to be using it in the next 5 years while we wait for this quantum stuff to play out are definitely going to be left behind.
Yeah.
And there's no real need to be scared here. I'm still a little bit like, I think I've always been pro-Google, so I'm seeing Google doing that. They're a bit slow with what they're doing now.
Have you used it?
Which one?
Bard.
Oh, no, I haven't. Yeah. I haven't. I've just read the article somewhere. Like, okay.
No. Well, I tried it the other day just to give it a go. Interesting. What I tried to I said, okay, because you know with ChatGPT, try and prime it, right? You try and say, okay, you're a sales specialist now or whatever. So I went onto Bard and I said, okay, you are now like a marketing Google SEO expert.
Yes.
So tell me how I can create an amazing Google, time. It was just like, just came up with this random crap. It's
rubbish.
Yeah. I was like, well,
and they've got 1,200 engineers like sitting there.
Yeah.
They've been working on it for way longer than OpenAI, and they're just, it's very interesting.
I think they've got way more actually, I think they actually got a much, much better version out there. Because I remember years ago, like during their conference.
Maggie?
Yes, something like that, where they actually, they had a person on a call.
Oh, yes, booking, that's Maggie. Booking a table or a hairdresser.
Something like that. I remember hearing that. And Google was like, oh, look at this. And everyone afterwards was like, this is like, everyone's like freaked out about it. Like the complete opposite of what they thought
was
going to happen.
That's what I want. I want to leave work here and go, hey, Siri, book my table for three at so-and-so. Go do it now. Or, you know, or find me a table at any restaurant available in the city or something. Like, I kind of want that.
Yeah.
But, oh, sorry. My Siri's talking to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Google Workspaces, they just teased a video as well to how they're going to be bringing AI into workspaces, like auto responses on random emails that it knows you don't need to deal with.
It's not while they're replying back to your emails anymore.
I mean, have you noticed the AI creeping into Shopify as well with the product descriptions?
Yes, I saw that in the. You can compress that.
Just a little touch of it.
They seem to all do it. Even Grammarly is doing something very similar where it says you can highlight some stuff and you can say, improve it, like you've got the little options to say, okay, can it be empathetic or whatever it is. So actually today through Viva Sales, I said to my boss, I sent him a reply and I said, can you reply to this email but in Shakespeare? So I had all this like tiss and whatever I sent it to him. And
I wonder if your boss is like, oh, he's had a stroke. What's wrong with this? I want to say my little tip of what I did the other day, which I thought was kind of fun. You know, with ChatGPT-4, I'm sure you're using ChatGPT-4.
Yeah.
And it's got the Bing connection.
Yeah, that's right.
I was like, okay, let's see. And I installed the actually, did I do this with it? No, I just did this with ChatGPT Bing. Sorry, because there's the SEO app, but I did this with Bing. And I said, hey, I want you to go look at this site, which was one of our client sites.
Yeah.
I said, I want you to act like an SEO specialist. And here's some of the keywords we're trying to utilize. But with your expertise of knowing how many people in New Zealand are searching for keywords relating to this website, is the SEO on this page done correctly? And if not, come back with like what you think and all these suggestions. And it came back with some interesting stuff because now I can go and crawl that page.
Yeah.
And then it started clicking on all the links and crawling all the other pages. So it's giving me like a little bit of feedback of multiple pages. Yeah, so. Yeah.
I try to do that with Countdown.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So can you give me the prices of all Countdown?
How did that work?
No, that didn't work.
No, they did a good day.
They're blocking that.
No one can crawl their website.
Yeah, yeah.
There's got to be some nofollow. Well, not nofollow. What's it?
Well, do you think how many people would be trying to compete with their pricing? Yeah. Of course, they've blocked their bots coming to the site.
We were looking at that other one where I don't think Seek allows it to work anymore.
There's actually an app that allows you to view your competitors and then change your pricing compared on.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. There's
our pricing's already cheap anyway. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Beautiful, guys. If you want to look at anything that we've talked about today, probably by the time you're listening to this, grubsup.co.nz is what I heard.
Yes, it's closed off at the moment, but email me.
This will be 2 weeks away, so I think there might be a website live or not.
No, it won't be live, but just contact me and I'll give you access to it. And awesome. Then,
we'll put links to the Kai Box.
Cool. Yep.
The Kai Box, links down the bottom. While you're there, comment, ask us any questions, chat to us about what you want us to be talking about. If you're interested in AI and you want us to talk a little bit more about it, please do so. Like, subscribe, all that good stuff.
If you feel like you want to do some jiu-jitsu with John, there'll be a link to his club there as well.
Get active.
John, I want to say thank you very much.
No, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I hope people walk away going, I got to give this AI thing a try.
Yeah.
You're definitely doing some stuff with it. So as well, though, so am I. It's Friday afternoon. Let's get out of here.
Let's go.
Nice. Cheers.
See ya.